place there this morning, and let me kind of share with you just a few things that we want to update you on. One is we've been asking the congregation here in recent weeks to continue to pray for Agnes Toller, and Agnes is a longtime church member in our church family, and has been here many, many years, and her daughter was Sandy Hilton, and many of you remember John and Sandy, but I know for the last two, 3 years, every time I'd run into Agnes and talk to her, either at her home or here, whatever, Pastor, I don't know why God's keeping me around. He just needs to take me on to heaven. And I said, well, Agnes, you just have to wait on the Lord when that time comes. Well, that time came Friday of this week. And Agnes was 95 years old. She has a sister that's 99. She has another sister that's 91. And I said, man, you have a long history of folks that live longer in your family and that. But anyway, the Lord chose to take her home Friday. And so that funeral will be here at our church this Tuesday. There'll be a one-hour visitation at 11 o'clock from 11 to 12. There'll be a memorial service at 12 o'clock here in our church sanctuary. So pray for the family and that'll be gathering here. Some will be traveling from out of state. She was from West Virginia, and that is all of some of the family will be traveling in to be here. So pray for, if you would, the Toller family. And then also, too, right after the morning service, there is no service tonight at 6, being Easter. Trust you enjoy your time with your family. But right after the morning service, they will be having an Easter egg hunt. And if you want to join them after the service, and I believe that's on the other side of the building. Rachel's not in here, and should ask her that before, but it's got to be on there. Just follow the crowd. Follow the kids. And there'll be an Easter egg hunt. If you have a child here, follow them. If you're 12 or older, you're excluded. You can't participate. And that's, I know, disappoints some of you in that. But anyway, pray for the Golden Agers has an activity this Friday. If you have not yet signed up for that, go by the Welcome Center. Also, next Sunday, a week from today, on April the 27th, our children's ministry through the Awana Ministry is going to be having a bake sale. And it says they're having a bake sale next Sunday, immediately following the morning service. So the donations towards that will go towards the Awana store and Vacation Bible School. And we have some great cooks in the church, great bakers in the church. And if you want to help participate in that, that would be great. It will help the Awana ministry tremendously. And that. So anyway, follow the bulletin for the other announcements and things that are going on. Trust you have a great Easter with your family today. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew, and Matthew chapter 28. If you don't have a Bible or you forgot your Bible this morning, you can take a pew Bible there in front of you. There's pew Bibles. You're welcome to take one of those and to look at that. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28, and today I want to preach a message on the empty tomb. The empty tomb, as we said, is as Ron and the praise team well laid out, our worship and what Easter is really all about and the message of the Resurrection Sunday and all that takes place. I want to share with you today when we think about the empty tomb. We know that everything began to unfold on Thursday before the crucifixion as Jesus made his grand entrance into Jerusalem. And that Palm Sunday made his entrance coming in for Passover. And but as he began riding into Jerusalem, the events very quickly began to change. Come riding in on a donkey, began riding in as they laid palm leaves down, began riding in to celebrate that week of Passover. But then they quickly, events began to turn and unfold from there. We know Judas Iscariot betrayed him, sold out for 30 pieces of silver. We know that eventually he was betrayed and arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and taken in. We know at that time, it's interesting to watch those events as they unfold, that Peter, trying to protect him, took a sword and went under after Malchus. I think he was literally trying to protect the Savior and to cut the head off of Malchus, but he must have turned or something, and he only cut off his ear. And Jesus said, Peter, put away the sword. It's not the place for that right now. And Jesus took the ear of Malchus and put that on and healed him and immediately and did that miracle right there in the garden. They immediately arrested him, took him before Caiaphas, the high priest. And they began the trial and they began the interrogation. They began all that went on. They took him before Pilate and that they began to accuse him They began to mock him. They spat upon him. They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They buffeted him. They did all these things to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only to find out when they got to that point, the Bible says that as this unfolded, the disciples kind of deserted him. And as they watched this unfold, Jesus even warned Peter, said, "Peter, before the cock crow, you will deny me three times." And Peter said, "Oh, not I, Lord. I'll never deny you." But yet he did exactly that. "Aren't you a Galilean? Aren't you with him?" "No, I'm not with him." And yet we find that Jesus went on to the cross, suffered just a most inhumane way to be able to die. I shared with you last Sunday, or maybe the Sunday before, on the crucifixion. It's the most horrible, excruciating death that a person could ever experience. And they take and they nail the hands to the cross and the feet to the cross, and they hang there on the cross. It's really death by suffocation. Death by losing your breath and trying to pull yourself up on that cross and get one more breath to breathe for one more minute. We find Jesus hung on that cross, was crucified on that Friday morning. They arrested him about 6 o'clock in the morning. And they took him before them, and we find that he hung on that cross, crucified him at about 9 a.m. in the morning on Friday. He hung on that cross, a humiliating thing to be, hanging there before the whole world. The Bible says that about noon at that time, that the Bible says that darkness came upon the whole earth and the sun no longer shone. And God, looking down today, the sun completely blackened the earth at that time. And Jesus hung there on that cross in that last 3 hours. And the Bible says somewhere probably around 3 in that afternoon, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," he gave up the ghost and he died a physical death. He hung there on that cross. The Sabbath was coming, so they had to take him down off of that cross before the Sabbath. They took him down. They come, and one of the Roman customs was to break the legs of those that hung on the cross so they could get him down off of the cross before the Sabbath. They come to Jesus, and he had already died, so they did not. The Bible says in prophecy in the Old Testament that not a bone was broken in his body. But he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for all the world to be able to know that he's the Son of God. And so there he hung on that cross. They took him down off the cross and nowhere to go except Joseph of Arimathea said, "I have a new sepulcher." And they went and he begged for the body of the Lord Jesus. And so the Bible says that Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus and along with him Nicodemus from John chapter 3 took him down from that cross. They prepared the body and Joseph put him in that sepulcher. And oh wait, we find that he was buried that day. As the events unfolded and on Friday, went through that, and that day, we find it's interesting as he laid in the tomb. And I really believe that if you look at the mood and the atmosphere that's all going on during this time, was really a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unbelief. Jesus had taught them, told them what was going to happen. But really, around this time, I think it's really super important to understand that in the Bible, that when he was laid in that tomb, we now find they come, and the morning that they come, Mary Magdalene and Mary come to the tomb. They come bringing spices. They come bringing ointments for the burial of a body and to prepare that body in Matthew chapter 28. That's where we're going to pick up our reading here as they prepare the body. But I want to set for you the mood that morning was one of despair, one of unbelief, of one of where's the Messiah, the one of doom and gloom, because they didn't know. There was a lot of unbelief. The Bible says many did not believe even yet and still had doubts, had hardness of the heart. So look, if you will, in Matthew 28 and verse 1. It says, as the Sabbath, and the end of the Sabbath here, Matthew 28, 1, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene. Now, I want to remind you, Mary Magdalene was the one that he cast out 7 devils. Boy, I'll tell you what, if God did a miracle in your life and cast out 7 devils, she's one that came to the tomb, to the sepulcher, to see her Savior and to do what she could do to anoint his body, and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. In verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, in verse 2, God intervenes. And there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. and his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. I want you to notice there that in verse 4, that under Roman rule, if you're a Roman guard and you're protecting a sepulcher and you allow a prisoner to escape or you allow something to go on, and that it was death, that the Roman government would kill those standing guard. So the angel come in verse 5, the angel answered and said unto the women, notice this now, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. As I told our Sunday school class today, isn't that amazing, the emotions that we have in our bodies, in our lives? And here that morning, they had fear on one hand, not knowing what all was going to happen here, and great joy on the other, the resurrected Savior. I find it almost interesting how that can be in the same sentence, fear and great joy. And did run to bring his disciples word. Boy, they were excited. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. It's like a greeting. All hail. They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave large sum of money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, and they're really doing a cover up here, his disciples came by night, stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. It's absolutely fascinating. When you look at the empty tomb that day as it resurrected, God initiated this, and the Bible says that the Lord rolled back and created this earthquake and rolled back the stone, and now they're coming to anoint the body with spices and ointment and things for burial and preparation. Mary Magdalene and Mary, and they get the news. He's not here. It's an empty tomb. He's gone. Go and tell the other. So they ran. If you go on and read other places in the Bible says they left and they ran to tell. Who they went to tell? Peter and John. They were the first ones. Peter and John heard the news. They took off running to the sepulcher. I love it in the Bible because the Bible records it, that John outran Peter. The one that loved the Lord Jesus outran Peter to the sepulcher. Eventually, Peter gets to the sepulcher, gets there, and gets down and looks in to see if the body's in there. No body. And again, the angel appears to him. So the woman appears at the tomb, and as the stone is rolled away, and Peter is informed, and John is informed, and go tell the other disciples. And so they immediately begin to go and tell the others, and word gets out very quickly, and Christ appears to other women, and we find here that even on the road to Emmaus, Jesus comes and appears to those on the road to Emmaus to let them know that he is risen. We find that many other disciples come, and Christ appeared to the astonished disciples here. And it's interesting, he even came to Thomas. Remember, doubting Thomas? And what did he say to Thomas? Thomas, cast your finger into my hands and see the nail prints in my hands. He did so. Thomas, take your hand and thrust it into my side. And finally then, Thomas believed. This is the Messiah. This is the one that believed in. There was a lot of doubting. There was a lot of unbelief. The Bible talks about hardened hearts. And so you think about why the resurrection? Why the important? Now the Bible says the resurrection went on that he appeared in resurrected form for 40 days, 40 nights, for 40 days. For 40 days, Jesus came to dispel the unbelief the doubt, even among Mary Magdalene, among Mary, among Peter, among John, among the other apostles, upon those, and that he continued, upon those to the road to Emmaus, that he removed the doubt and fear. Even those that walked with him, saw the miracles, fellowshiped with him, ate with him, still had their doubts at the crucifixion. So, appearing in resurrected form, coming to the empty tomb was so vitally, vitally important to remove all the doubt, to remove any unbelief that this is the resurrected Christ, that he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he is not here. The Romans did not steal his body away, but God opened the sepulcher, and the Lord Jesus came out victoriously. So God did a miracle in the resurrection. The Bible says he's the first fruits of the resurrection. And because of his resurrection, makes it possible that you and I can look death in the eye and realize that one day, my friend, you and I are going to die. Agnes and I have been talking about this now for several years. Agnes, I know you're ready to go to heaven, but we can't. We just got to wait on the Lord. Friday was her day. I was with her just a few days before she passed. Stood beside her bedside, looked her in the eye, shook her hand. I said, are you ready for this trip? She said, I am. I want to go right now. Jean, her sister, 91-year-old sister, standing right there beside her. I said, I know this is painful. I know it's ugly. Death is ugly. Death hurts. Death stings. And while I'm there, a nurse comes in, puts some morphine under her tongue just to make her comfortable. She had quit eating. And she was just laying there waiting to die. You know, I don't know about you. If we had a choice, I'd prefer just to go full steam ahead, take the next step straight into heaven. I don't want to lay in a bed somewhere. Don't want to lay around and wait on the death angel to come in and hover over you. And I stepped out in the hallway, talked to Jean. I told Jean, I said, you know, Jean, I said, I've been watching this for over 50 years. Death is ugly. And death is coming, and it's coming soon. And you know what? The Bible says that the resurrection of Christ, the purpose of his coming and being resurrected is to conquer death. The Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, the last great enemy to be destroyed is death, 1 Corinthians 15. So when you think about the empty grave, you know, think about really all that's going on here in this, the Jewish Sabbath had just ended. And the first week here had dawned, and so it was early in the morning. You imagine that, early in the morning, even before daybreak. As they came, they made their way to the tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, and we find where Jesus had been buried. And what did they find when they arrived? They found an angel that God placed there. Of all things, they found an angel. That's not what they expected to find. Those women were sad that morning. They came to the tomb. Matter of fact, they even had this question. Well, who will roll the stone away? And as these women came that morning, they expected to find the body of the Lord Jesus. They expected to find a stone blocking the burial site. They expected to find the Roman soldiers. And what these women found was an empty tomb. And from that empty tomb came the message no one expected. And that message still rings through. Today, in the 21st century, 2,000 plus years later, the empty tomb made some declarations. The first thing I want you to see today is the first declaration is the power of Christ to be able to conquer death. You know, it's interesting. There's been many world conquerors, tyrants, dictators down through world history. Nebuchadnezzar conquered Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also conquered the Assyrian Empire. We find Napoleon conquered France and most of Europe. The Caesars conquered Rome and all of the Roman Empire. We find that Alexander the Great conquered the then known world. And all these conquerors were all conquered by someone else, death. Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, born in obscurity, reared in poverty, and died in an open, shameful death hanging on the cross. Buried in another man's tomb. But Jesus is the one that conquered death. Death is coming to us all. We don't know when. We don't know the time. We don't know the day. We don't know the place. The only thing we got to make sure of is, have you prepared yourself for that? Because death is a conquered foe, death is a conquered enemy, and it's only because of the resurrected Savior and because we have an empty tomb. I love the song, and one of the old hymn writers wrote this, said, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor o'er a dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign." If Jesus Christ had not conquered death and opened the grave, he could never have conquered destiny and opened heaven for us. And because he conquered death, hell, and the grave, heaven has been opened up. And on Friday this week, Agnes made her grand entrance to see the Savior face to face. So that is our hope. What hope do you have today? Our hope is in the resurrection. Christ conquered death in the resurrection. Our hope was conceived at the cross where he died. Our hope was given birth at the tomb where he arose, and shout with joy. And so we find that he lives, yes, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Does he live within your heart today? The resurrected Savior, the one who came, has he removed all doubt and all fear? All the fear should be gone. All the doubt should be gone. You ought not to fear anything today. You can look death in the face and smile because he conquered death. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, our faith would be in vain. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, our sins would not be forgiven. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, we would have no hope and would indeed of all men, the Bible says, be most miserable. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, death would conquer us one and all. And if Christ had not been raised from the dead, the death would be hanging today on the gates of heaven. Jesus Christ is not among the dead. He willingly, the Bible said, he could have called legions of angels to come and rescue him. He chose not to do that. But he asked God, his Father's, "Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other possibility, let this cup pass from me." His humanity saw what was coming on that day on Golgotha, on that day on Calvary. He saw the human suffering that was getting ready to come. And I think it was more than he humanly could bear. But his deity allowed him to do so. He was human and he was deity. He was God in the flesh. And so we find it's interesting here. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes it. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death," that's Adam, "by man also came the resurrection of the dead," that's Christ. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So because of Adam, Adam's sin nature passed on the human race. And today, because of Christ and trusting in him, believing in him, you can have eternal life. "So every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then he shall deliver up the kingdom unto God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Rejoice," and again I say rejoice. What is so great about Easter Sunday? What is so great about the resurrection? It conquered death. We have hope. We will not suffer. Yeah, it's got to go through this doorway called death. I'm praying for the rapture, but if we don't go through the rapture, we all go through the doorway called death. The question becomes, are you ready? Do you know him? Have you trusted in him? Do you believe? Have you been born again? "Therefore, we face death not as an end, but as an entrance. We face death not as groping in the dark. We face death walking in the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," the Bible says, "I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table in the presence of mine enemies, before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." All because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unconquerable Son of God, exercised his power to conquer death. Hallelujah, he lives forever. You think about, if you will, not only the presence, here, let me share with you the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to control the world. Today, all over the world, will be the proclamation of the gospel and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Jesus Christ is the contemporary with Abraham, Moses, the prophets, Peter, James, John. Don't look only at the Lord Jesus Christ coming out of the grave 2,000 years ago. Embrace him as the one who lives today. He is very much alive today. He is as much alive today, and we need to embrace him. Jesus is the Alpha. The Bible says the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. Martin Luther said that if Christ were not alive, then he would not want to live for 1 hour. In Christ we live. In Christ we move. In Christ we have our being. He is the Lord of our life, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to control the world. He is the God, not of the dead, but of the living. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So we see Jesus Christ is alive. Every time we see someone coming to him to be born again by the Spirit of God, proves again that Jesus is alive and well. Nobody gets saved unless the Holy Spirit draws them. Nobody comes to Christ unless it's a work of God through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, drawing people to the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can work his way to heaven. No man can do good deeds to get to heaven. No man, you can be the best person in all the world. You can obey all the law and not do anything wrong. But if you don't accept and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you never will see heaven. So we see Jesus Christ is alive every time we see someone coming to him to be born again. Every time you see somebody being born again, it's a miracle of God taking place in their heart. So we ought to look into those eyes of our missionaries, Stetson Plank, that's over in Italy, and we can see Jesus Christ is very much alive. The gospel can be taken to Italy, it can be taken to Haiti, it can be taken to Europe, it can be taken to Asia, it can be taken to Africa, and it's the same gospel wherever you go that regenerates a man to be born again, alive. So what a power to control the world today comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is alive to control the world in the empty tomb that declares that he has that power. Yeah, I know we all follow the political winds of day by day of what goes on. But let me tell you who's really in charge. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are in charge. Everything, including under kings and presidents and leaders, is going according to the plan and the will of God. Nothing. You say, well, I didn't see that coming. I didn't think that would happen. No, my friend, don't worry. God's got it all in his plan. Keep your eye on him. So we have the proof that Jesus Christ will resurrect his own. 1 Corinthians 16, or chapter 6, verse 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord, who also raised up us by his power. So, you know, they're going to take Agnes this week. They'll take her to Brunswick, Ohio, lay her to rest. She can't do anything to raise herself from the grave. She'll lay there waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. She'll wait on the resurrection day. The hope that we have every time we go to a cemetery, every time we lay a loved one in the grave, is the hope of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. Pay attention to that promise. The same God that raised up Jesus Christ shall raise us up by that same power. This little life that we live here on this earth is not the final chapter of our destiny. We are made in the image of God Almighty. We are made to live. We are made to live forever. Yes, we will go from a natural body to a spiritual body. But you will live forever. Somewhere, either heaven or hell. The Bible makes it abundantly clear in John chapter 8, you're either of your Father, the Heavenly Father, or your father, the devil. And that's scriptural. It's in John's Gospel. So let me ask you this today. Who's your father? Who have you confessed to? Who have you believed in? Who are you trusting in? So this little light, when you think about it here, the empty tomb becomes for us a seal, a token of the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We had to shout that from the housetop, broadcast that. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. John chapter 14. It's no dream. It's not a wild imagination. This is not being fanatical, foolish, or fantasy. It's all found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You want to spend some time on Resurrection Sunday? When you go home today and you're reading your Bible sometime today, pull out 1 Corinthians 15. Talks about the importance of the resurrection. Talks about the order of the resurrection. Talks about the method of the resurrection. Talks about all believers will not die and the final victory you and I can have over death. The ultimate victory is a motive to serve, and therefore we ought to comfort. The Bible says to comfort one another with these words. Oh, the empty tomb, the doom and gloom as they came that day to spread the spices and the ointment and bury that body, that all changed very quickly. God began to remove the doubt. God began to remove the fear. One by one, by Mary Magdalene, by Mary, by Peter, by James, by the other disciples, by doubting Thomas and all those, that finally, after 40 days, they finally said, "He is alive." And when he went back to heaven, the Bible says that he then said to stay in Jerusalem, wait on the power of the Holy Spirit of God to come on the day of Pentecost. He is alive. Jesus is alive and well today. The key is, do you believe him? Do you trust him? And the Bible is very simple, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the gift that God is offering to you, is a resurrected Christ, that he died for your sins, and is all you got to do is believe him. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So my friend, if you took your last breath, are you ready? Do you know where you're going? Have you received that gift? Let's pray. With every head bowed today and every eye closed today, I want to ask you a little bit kind of different invitation today. I want to ask you today, Pastor, on this Resurrection Sunday, I know for sure if I had to look at death right now, I'm prepared, I'm saved, I'm born again. I know 100% for sure I'd go to heaven. If you know that today, would you just raise your hand? Every head bowed and every eye closed, all over the sanctuary. I know where I'm going when I take my last breath. Put your hand down, if you will. Today, my friend, if you're here, no matter who you are, if you could not raise your hand, if you don't know that for sure, you need to know that for sure. You need to know that you can accept that gift of salvation. God has a gift for you. And that simply is, all you got to do is believe that you're a sinner, and that you can trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and ask God to forgive you, and he will give you eternal life. So I want to pray for those that could not raise your hand today, and ask you to pray this prayer where you sit right now today between you and God, if you want to be saved today. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize today that I am a sinner, and God, I cannot get to heaven on my own. So I ask you to forgive me, and I repent of my sin today. And I ask Jesus to come into my heart. Today, God, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for eternal life. I accept Jesus as your gift of salvation. Thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray.